I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on a new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio, of course, I have the honor of being with my friend, Sister Razia Shami. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you?
I'm very well. So we've been talking about chastity for the past few episodes.
Modesty.
Yes, we've been talking about modesty, haya, and its manifestation, which is chastity. We've explained that modesty is much more than just covering yourself and lowering your gaze. Modesty is a sense of integrity and self-respect. There is a higher being observing my every action. Mm-hmm. And my purpose is satisfying that higher being, so I don't want to disappoint him. And we talked about how chastity and iffah is more in women because they're more beautiful. And it's natural. It's the natural. I'm not saying that, oh, men are hideous, they're ugly trolls. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The way you've been created, verily we have created man in the best of form. And the way you've been created is the most beautiful form because God created you that way. You know, everyone is lovely. We're not body shaming anyone here. But because women have been bestowed this gem, it is everyone's job to protect it. Men have been bestowed some other gems, like their physical strength, like them being the maintainers of women. And, you know, we support them in that. It's totally fine. We were beginning to discuss the issues of haya within the family and how wife and husbands are responsible in helping each other guard it. And, of course, the problems that arise within society. And these are really pressing problems with pressing questions that we need to answer immediately.
Yeah, one point that I just came to my mind, we have actually talked about it before, but not we haven't put it like in a categorized, very clear-cut way. And the fact that we mentioned that women are men's garments and men are women's garments.
Yes.
And one implication of garment was the point that we mentioned in our previous session that if women are supposed to be the one with five times more haya, then men are the ones who should help in safeguarding this modesty and chastity by how they appear. So this is a kind of hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna. And the topic that we brought up in our previous session was erotic capital.
Right.
And it means that if you're beautiful, I mean, you are the fact that you're beautiful and you're attractive and you're sexy, good, you know, keep it, use it in the society to get a better job.
And bring more money to my
firm. Bring more money to yourself, to your company. So, Zainab, I think that despite the fact that we are saying so many times, we're like shouting and like this is a slogan that haya is good, you know, haya is all iman. I mean, if you're virtuous, if you're pious, if you're God-fearing, you have to show this haya in your practical life. But in practice, mm-hmm. if a woman truly wants to observe the etiquettes of haya and chastity, she will not be so favorable in the society.
Right.
And people will be like, you know, she's socially awkward.
Mm.
These days, if a girl really, truly wants to be a modest girl, and I've seen a couple of cases around myself and even, you know, among like my relatives that those girls who are really, really modest and they really try to observe their boundaries with the non-mahram, they're not a favorable person to be with.
Mm. For the non-mahrams or for the women? I mean, who cares if they're not
for a favorable? For the non-mahram.
That's not a big deal.
But imagine that they're single. Who would propose to them?
مَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَل لَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. if this is the right thing to do, and if this is what Allah has ordained us, and you are, because the verse says, whoever is God-wary, Allah will give them provisions from ways they did not anticipate, right? If this is the right way to go, who cares if people aren't pleased? Allah, if a husband is still a rizq, a provision, Allah will provide for her. And I think we need to draw a line between modesty in society and actually being unapproachable, because there's a difference, right?
Mm-hmm. So you mean if you want to be approachable in the society, you have to have a smile?
Yes. I smile to every random woman that passes by.
Imagine that Lady Fatima was here, or Lady Zainab was here, or Lady Mariam was here, and she was passing a non-mahram. Would she smile once in a while?
No, I'm saying that I'm not talking about random strangers, okay? I'm talking about people who
I'm interacting with. Let's talk about your colleague. I think Lady Mariam would not choose a job that entailed her being with a male colleague in the first place.
She's so lucky to have that choice. I understand what you're saying, that there are role models, and at the end of the day, they're people we have to look to as standard. Okay, what the society says and what's norm in the society doesn't mean anything, because the society is usually and almost corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And these are just man-made rules. But if we're going to talk about the practicality of it all, first of all, Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah Alayha, we've never been able to observe her life under non-hostile situations. The moment she had to interact with another mahram was because the rest of the men of her family were killed. Mm-hmm. So there was no smile on her face. And Sayyidah Fatima...
What about her Quran class? She didn't have any Quran class for women. Non-mahrams.
Exactly. Only for... Or Fatima Tazara in her interaction, salamullah alayha, with Bilal, which was a frequent at her home. Salman al-Farsi, also a frequent. They were practically besties. Minna Ahl al-Bayt. He is from us, the household. I really wonder how her interact. Was she always frowning, turning the other way? I don't know if my voice suddenly zoned out because I was turning the other way. You know, I need to understand these things. What is courtesy?
I think it's a really vague historical account. Well, you know, we don't really know whether Bilal and Salman were actually in the same house, in the same room.
Mm.
Sometimes it's possible that you have a lot of interactions, but like men and women are in a different space.
Area, yeah.
Yeah, so this could be the case.
Absolutely.
That they, you know, they wouldn't actually see each other.
My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong. Sometimes it just gets too much. I feel that I've lost touch. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
I mean, Islam is like... the pieces of the engine of a car.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really just focus on the health or on the practicality of one specific rule and say that, you know, like focus it, magnify it, emphasize it so much, and then with regards to all the other aspects, just remain quiet.
Mm.
In this case, unfortunately, nothing is at its place.
Right.
Marriage is not happening at the right time and in the right way and with the right person.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, many things are corrupted and they are really non-Islamic.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're saying if we're telling to a girl, a virgin, single girl, that you have to be modest, and she's really trying to be modest, I mean, it's right that مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, but at the same time, you have ruined the order of the Islam. No one wants to get married, and you're saying, be modest. You know what I'm saying? Be modest, yes, but at the same time, encourage your boys and girls to get married at the right time. Teach them how to be good spouses.
Mm.
Everything has to go, you know, I think the best way is to train young boys and girls to to give them information, to make them aware that to prevent a chaos from happening is so much better than letting it happen and then prescribing medicine for it.
Definitely.
That this is what's going on in our society these days.
Absolutely.
So unfortunately, because I've heard so in radio programs, on Instagram pages, people are referring, like good, modest girls are referring to psychologists, and they're saying, we can't find husbands because no one's coming after us. Nobody even knows that we're existing. Or even we step into the society, we are so modest that people don't even, you know, dare to approach us. The girl who has done a nose job, who has dyed her hair, who comes out with a very appealing outfit, and all men are like, their eyes just roll on her, she's going to get married sooner.
Is it a successful marriage, though?
It goes back to her akhlaq and, you know.
And then, see, again, it's not just because she's dolled up, it's because she had other things in her that made living with her appealing. I know, I've been blessed to know a lot of modest women who are absolutely wonderful. You know, they're intelligent, they're creative, they're nice, they're compassionate. But I'm saying that it's not always a question of because she's prettier, she found a husband faster.
You know what? Our values have changed.
Definitely.
And we are after beauty, and we are after apparent beauty, physical beauty. Everything has become materialistic. I would care, well, like if I see someone, I say, is she beautiful? I don't say, is her akhlaq is good. The media, our educational system, everything has taught us that the outer appearance, the beautification of everything, like the beautiful wrap that you put around a gift, this is the most important thing. This is why so many people are going after plastic surgery.
Right.
They care so much. Look at Instagram. Who has more followers? Not the one who has a message to offer. The one who is showing off of, you know, the styles of her shoes that she's wearing,
right.
The makeup.
We're too materialistic.
Everything has become materialistic.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to be modest.
Absolutely. I agree. If we could just make a simple wrap up, we would say that everything has to go hand in hand, you know? There has to be an equilibrium in the society for everyone to be able to do their parts properly. For the modest woman, for the modest man, for the beautiful woman, for the beautiful man, for the beautiful modest man, you know? Beautiful modest woman. And unfortunately, everything's been so tipped out of balance that our values have been placed in the wrong places. Inshallah ta'ala, perhaps if we are given the chance, we will talk about how to navigate according to the teachings of Islam. Till then, we leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men. And and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.